I hope you have a copy of God's Word, and I invite you to take it and join us in Galatians. That's in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 1. Everybody here has a story. What I'd like for you to do this morning is think about your story. In order to do that, I'm going to ask you to do some homework. It'll start here, but I want you to take it home. Now, this may not be your thing. Maybe you're out of school and you think, I don't want any homework. But I'm telling you, this will help you. This morning, I'm going to use God's Word, but I'm going to do so in an application way. In order to help you tell your story more effectively. Well, let's read the text and then look at the elements of your story. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I'm writing to you, before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he used to persecute us. He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. May God bless our reading of his word. You may be seated. Now, what Paul is doing in writing this section, which is completely biographical, is he is pushing back against some accusers. These accusers we've termed Judaizers. That is, they are most likely believing Jews. They've come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we call them Judaizers because they're not satisfied with just the gospel. They are so entrenched in their Judaism that they feel like the gospel is a mere attachment to their Judaism. And so they seem to be going behind the Apostle Paul and adding to what he has preached as the gospel. And in so doing, they are diminishing Paul's reputation. They are trying to do damage to Paul's reputation. Now, we gather that from the emphasis of his autobiographical material. He's defending his position in Christ. He's defending how he came to faith in Christ. He's presenting how he was before Christ, how he came to Christ, and how he's living since he came to Christ. And he does so in these four issues. Number one, He tells us the origin of the gospel. Do you know where the gospel came from? Do you know its origin? Many people will say, well, it is a derivation of Judaism, and you may know something about the historical development of the gospel, but do you know the origin of the gospel? Look at verse 11. I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. It's not of a human origin. It's not of man making something. It's not, as the King James Version says, according to man. It's not something he would come up with. If you were developing the gospel, would you develop this story? Would you tell of a person who is lost in their sin, no hope for their escape, no chance of them being good enough, and God stepping in to their place, dying on account of their sin, and then being raised from the dead? Would that ever cross your mind? Well, even if it would cross your mind, you couldn't make it happen. But God did. The origin of the gospel is God Himself. It wasn't Paul who originated it, nor was it the Jews who originated it, but it was God who originated it. It is from God. And how did it come from God to you? How did it come from God to the Apostle Paul? Well, Paul had a story, folks. An amazing story. A story, well, unlike any other. And let me say this to you. Your story is unlike any other. How the gospel came to you is as unique as your fingerprints. As unique as a snowflake. Everybody has a story. Some stories are spectacular. Some stories, in comparison, are very normal. But everybody has a story. The Apostle Paul tells us this story. You can read about it in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. He's in hot pursuit of Christians who are Jews. They've come to faith in Christ. He's going after them, and he's going after them as the temple's law enforcement. He's going after them to imprison them, to persecute them, and if need be, kill them. Just as he has done with Stephen. Now he's on his way to Damascus. And en route, he's blinded by a light. And even though everybody saw the light, and everybody heard the sounds, it was very personal to Paul, an individual, in that Jesus appears to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul says, I don't even know who you are. And Jesus says, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. And Saul is blinded and broken. And he's carried on from there to Damascus. And in Damascus, he encounters a believer that he would have been persecuting. And that believer shares the story of the gospel with Paul, his new name. And Paul trusts Christ. and his eyes regained their vision. What's your story? Maybe yours is not as fantastic as that. But you have a story. And I want to call this portion of the story your life before Christ. Who were you? What was your condition? You say, well, Brother Robert, I don't have a story. I came to faith in Christ as a child. So did I. So did I. I hadn't been like the Apostle Paul, persecuting Christians, guilty in the very least as supporting a murder. I wasn't like that. I was a normal kid. You know, I don't have a story to tell. I didn't pack a .45 in my diaper. Maybe you didn't either. But your story is no less impressive. Because whether you understood it fully or not, you were just as lost as Saul. You were just as guilty of violating the law of God as Saul. And even though you perhaps couldn't have named the Ten Commandments, you became aware by the power of the gospel that you were lost. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. And even a 6 or 7 or 8 year old child, given the right instruction, can understand that without Christ, they're lost because of sin. What's your story? You have a story of a life before Christ. But I want you to notice the next thing. The Apostle Paul talks about what happened post-conversion. He talks about how for 3 years he didn't do anything, and then he makes a brief 2-week visit to Jerusalem to meet with the Apostle Peter. Now, we don't know the details of what it is he discussed or why he went there. We can surmise that it might have been to compare notes. Let's make sure we're both preaching the same gospel. And while he was there, he didn't meet with all the other apostles. He says he only met with Jesus' brother, James, who wasn't himself an apostle, but he was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. So a very prominent person. But there's no indication that the Apostle Paul went through any indoctrination or any catechism, if you would, with the other apostles. His apostleship was based on the fact that God himself had sent Jesus directly to him to confront him about his lostness and to transform his life. It's an amazing story. I want to tell you something. You do not have to go to seminary to be able to win people to Christ. In fact, hear me out. You might be better off if you didn't go to seminary. If you just leaned on the experience that you had upon what you've discovered to be true as revealed in God's Word, if you simply relied on that, you would be as powerful a witness as there can be. The trouble with seminarians is they begin to lean on their education. I'm going to tell you something, folks. People are not impressed by education. They're impressed by experience. You have a story to tell, and your story includes your life before Christ, but it also includes how you came to faith in Christ. Here, listen to me. You were saved by grace. You were saved by grace. That's a part of your story. That's a part of all of our stories. This is the thing that our stories have in common. We all have come to faith in Christ by the grace of God. We didn't come to faith in Christ because we were brought up in church. We didn't come to faith in Christ because we were born into a Christian family. Ladies and gentlemen, we came to faith in Christ because God bestowed His grace upon us. Faith is the response to that grace God pours on us. So hear me. We all have a story. In our lives before Christ, none of our lives were the same. They were as unique as we are, but our stories all have this in common. We were saved by the grace of God. Read on. He says in verse 15, "But when he who had called, who had me set, had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace." Now, who is he? Who is he? Go back to verse 6. I want you to read something. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." You hear that? So if we were called in the grace of Christ and someone called us into that grace of Christ, who do you guess it might be who called us into grace? The answer is God the Father. God the Father. And so when we come down to verse 15, "But when he who called to set me apart, he did so by grace." Paul has given every indication that he, while he may have been fastidious, he may have been scrupulous in keeping the law, he had been opposed to God the Father. He had become an enemy. That's why Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you coming up against me?" Paul had been an enemy of God. And the only way there could be peace between these enemies is if one of them said, "I'll handle this." Paul couldn't handle it. He was the troublemaker. He was the trouble. He was a sinner. You are a sinner. And there's nothing you can do about it. But God, by His grace, through Jesus Christ and His death for us, has done something about it. Everybody's testimony, everybody's story includes this issue, this element. It is not by anything we have done or could have done that we were saved. It is all and only by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. That's your story. That's my story. That's every believer's story. Otherwise, they're false believers. It's that simple. So what's your life been like since you trusted Christ? Well, Paul digs into that. Paul digs into that when in verse 16 he said, "This God was pleased to reveal His Son to me in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles." Now here he goes. "I didn't immediately go and consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus." And for three years, he let God teach him. "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remain with him 15 days. Nobody saw me, or I didn't see anybody other than James, the Lord's brother." Verse 21. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. That was his testimony. I used to hunt them down and kill them if need be. Now, I hunt them down and tell them about life. I tell them about my salvation. I tell them about the wondrous work of Jesus Christ on the cross and in his death and resurrection. I tell them the gospel. And they trust Christ because this is what I'm doing. Listen. Listen. I don't care which extreme you're on, whether you're an absolute Calvinist on the one hand, 5 points, God is sovereign and controls everything, or if you are on the other side of the spectrum, and you believe in absolute, total freedom of man. Anywhere in between those, it doesn't even matter. The story is the same, folks. Without the gospel of Christ being shared by followers of Jesus Christ, no one gets saved. No one. Hello. Hello. Do you believe that? Oh, yes, I got saved without anybody else's witness. Oh, did you? What Bible was that you were reading? And who translated that Bible? And who distributed that Bible? Oh, you were watching TV. Okay. Who was that preaching on that TV? You picked up a pamphlet and you read about it. Somebody shared the gospel with you. What's your story? The gospel comes from God, folks. We don't produce the gospel. We're just missionaries. We've gone out with the gospel. And our story is how the gospel came to us while we were yet sinners. While we were already still in the active process of being enemies of God, the gospel came to us by the grace of God, not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, not because we bought it and paid for it, not because we were in the right heritage. It came to us by the goodness of God, by his grace. And that encounter made all the difference in the world. So everybody's story has these three elements. My life before I trusted Christ, how I trusted Christ, and my life since I have trusted Christ. What's your story? Take those three things. My life before Jesus, how I met Jesus, my life since I've met Jesus. And write your story. And I challenge you to write it in such a way that you can memorize it. And in writing it, keep this in mind. Nobody's going to listen to you all day. I know that for a fact. You can tell this story in 90 seconds. And you have a story that is just as impressive. It is just as poignant, and it's just as powerful as Paul's testimony and his story. Write it down this week, would you? Would you make that your quiet time with the Lord? Everybody has a story. I'd love you for you to tell me yours after you've worked on it. 90 seconds or less. Can you take that challenge? Can you do that? I'm listening. If you can do that, you've gotten something out of this sermon. It's not what I've told you. It's what God has done in you. And that's worth hearing. Your testimony. Your testimony. How the gospel has transformed your life is just exactly what someone needs to hear. Have you had that? I don't want to belabor the issue, but I want to close with this. If you met Jesus, I mean really met him. I'm not talking about you went to some summer camp and you got all goofy and fuzzy feeling and the eebie-jeebie goosebumps came over when the band sang and when the preacher preached and the invitation occurred. A lot of people flocked down to the front of the room and some things were said. Now people get saved in situations like that, but some people don't. They just get caught up. And a lot of those people who get caught up can look at their lives and see something. They really don't have a story after they met Christ. Nothing changed. Nothing happened. No difference. Now, I want you to hear me carefully. I'm not saying that our labor, our works, our effort produces our salvation. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is what Jesus said. Your salvation produces. It produces fruit. Jesus said, by their fruits, you shall know them. If there's never been a change in your life, you have every reason, to go back and re-examine that experience that you are trusting for eternity. Because if you met Jesus, you came away different. Have you come away any different? The fact that you're here is not evidence. You may be trying to create a difference. You may be trying to make it different. That may be why you're at church today. I don't know. You know. And you need to be real honest with yourself. And tell me your story. Let's pray.